You're listening to Tassie Encounters Moments on Faith FM, and we're coming to you from Tasmania right across Australia. Each weekday at 9 a.m, you can hear what the Bible says about past, current and future events. You can learn how to study the Bible more effectively. You can get to know who God is, why we're here and where we're going. And you can experience personal encounters with Jesus. I'm your host, Jason Cook, and today we have David Maxwell joining us again, back with this little series that we've been doing on the 144,000. We're anticipating, because we haven't actually talked about this yet, but yesterday...
I'm warming you up for it.
Yes, so yesterday we just had a brief warm-up looking at situation where we had two different groups of people, really, wasn't it? Those who had faith and showed faith, and those who... Really, they let fear take over, didn't they? And,
this was
back in the children of Israel, the Israelites who were about to enter the promised land.
And interesting that you mentioned fear, because in our first verse that we're going to look at today, it's the opposite of that. And the solution to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, our book offer today will be coming up a bit later. We'll talk about that. Our show number 0488 880891. You can use that to text us in. We do keep an eye on the text messages. We can answer your questions and you can claim the book offer. But we've got a personal challenge as well for you today. Share a time you learned the results of disobedience. If you've got a particular experience, text us in and we can share it on our Friday program today, this week as well. So, we're moving forward. We're eventually going to get to the 144,000, but,
we will.
Where are we going now, David?
Well, before we get into the 144,000, I want to look at the motivations for behavior. I don't know if anyone's listened to Pastor Robbie Bergen and he talks about the reasons for studying the Bible. You know, you need to have a reason for studying the Bible, and that motivation will impact how you look at the Bible and the reasons why you want to study it. You know, what you really want to get out of it. That'll influence how you study it. And it's very similar for this 144,000. What are the motivations for our behavior, either for God or against God? And that's what I want to look at a little bit today before we completely unpack the 144,000. So really, the obedience that matters, not just to God but to anyone, is obedience from the heart. Because, you know, if you have children, you prefer they are obedient because they want to be obedient, or because that you tell them they have to be obedient. And any parent will understand what I'm saying. So maybe if you could read a passage today, John 14:15-18, please, Jason, New King James.
Sure. It says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you."
Yeah, thanks, Jason. When you start that verse off, I hear, well, depending on your background, depending on your character, depending on what you've learnt in life, you can hear that in two different ways. If you love me, you better keep my commandments. You know, there's a demanding tone in there.
Sort of thing almost.
Yeah, that's it, you know. And if you keep my commandments, then you'll have passed the test. I'll be able to give you the Holy Spirit, and then he'll be a comfort like I was. You know, that's called conditional love. That's called conditional love, that kind of thinking. It means that if you do something for me, then I'll do something for you in return. There's a condition on the love. You're only going to get it if the condition is fulfilled. I'll talk a bit more about that later. The other way you can understand it is, if you love me, it will show in your behavior. Because you love me, the Holy Spirit's going to live in you and you'll get to know me even better. That's called unconditional love. It means that God simply acknowledges our desire to build a relationship with him, you know, and then he gives us the help that we need. Now, remember, the Bible says that Jesus actually said that God is more willing to give us the Holy Spirit to help us than we are willing to receive it or willing to ask for it. And this gives us a better frame of mind when we read the commandments as well. So mostly when you read the commandments, you read them with this mindset. You had better do this because if you don't, something's going to happen. You know, and this is the conditional love thinking. You know, God will only love me if I do this or I do that or I obey his law. But if God is if God's love is ultimately, you know, the ultimate of love, it's the best example of love we can ever have because he is love. And it comes from him, then let's have a quick look at a human example, a good human example of love, right? So if you really love your partner, how do you behave towards them, Jason?
Lovingly.
But why? Why? What? Why do you behave like that? If you really love them, why do you behave like that?
Because you want the best for them, that you want to see them flourish.
Right.
Yeah.
So you don't do it because you have to, because you've got a certificate that says you're married, you have to do this.
You do it out of your own free will because you love them.
Correct. So it's that deep desire, that deep love that you want the best for them, you want them to achieve, you want to lift them up, that you do things, right?
Mm.
Okay. So if you only did it because you had to as part of the marriage contract, well, people would be right to doubt you really love the person.
Mm.
So if the best motivation for human action in human love comes from that deep relational connection, the same must be true for God because his is the ultimate in love. And so it's got to be true for what God desires love to really be.
Mm.
So rather than God expecting us to be obedient so he can bless us, the obedience comes from our relational connection to God and that deep love for a better relationship.
Mm.
I see this. You've probably done a bit of programming, I think.
I have in my years, for sure.
Yes, yes. What did you program with? What language?
Do you want me to list them all?
Oh, the main one. What's the main one?
The main one was actually Visual Basic. So,
okay.
But yes,
okay.
But I did C and C Sharp and other things as well.
Right, right. So, yeah, I learnt in C++.
Mm-hmm.
That's the language of Windows, if you like, the original language of Windows. It's mm-hmm. probably changed a bit nowadays. But I learnt in C++ and TCL. It's a scripting language. And I did most of my work in the scripting language. But in programming, there's this logical sequence that's called the if-then-else statement, okay? Mm. Even Visual Basic and all of those things, if you're writing good programs, you have to write the commands first in, like, English, the if-then-else statements. And regardless of the language that you use to program, this when you write programs, this statement, the if-then-else statement, is the foundation of logical programming. And it works like this. If a particular instruction or condition is true, then take a particular action, or else, or otherwise, we would say, do something different, right? So essentially, if the first statement is fulfilled, then the program will do one thing. Otherwise, if it's not fulfilled, it will do something else. Okay. So an example for that, for the novice, is that if the program's being closed, this is one example of that in action. If the program is being closed, Microsoft Word's being closed, and the file's been changed since it was open, so that's an if statement, then display a dialogue that tells the user, do you want to save a document? That's an if then. Okay. But if the program's not being closed and not being changed and it's being closed, just close the file. Mm. Okay. Yep. So that's an if then else. I find it really helpful to understand this in the statement of obedience, right? Because the way I look at God's commandments in terms of requirement and motivational for our obedience to them fits this statement. You know, the if-then-else statement that's supported by the Bible would look like this. If Jesus is in your heart, then you will obey.
Mm.
Or else disobedience will follow.
Mm.
You know, so that's an if-then-else statement. It's really logical. I'm a logical person.
Yeah.
But that's how the Bible puts it, you know.
It's very simple.
Look, it is, isn't it?
Mm.
So to have that personal relationship with Jesus and his love within, obedience then becomes inevitable. You know, it becomes inevitable. It's not just idealistic thinking, though, you know, because there's this difference between a covenant and a contract. I think I've got time for this.
Yes, yep.
Anyone who ever's taken out a loan, you'll know that you've had to sign and agree to a contract, and it contains conditions for both you and for the bank or the financier. A contract that someone makes all the conditions in and then gives it to someone else to do rather than themselves, if they pass it to you and say, this is my contract for you, do it, or else there'll be serious consequences, that's more in line with a slave contract, right? However, think about the Ten Commandments for a moment. God writes them with his own finger. He gives them to Moses. He says, this is my covenant. Right? Right from the time of Noah, God says, I will establish my covenant. So it's not God writing all these conditions, giving them to Moses, say, you better do this. It's, if it's a covenant, not a contract, if it's a covenant, God is writing all these things down and he is giving them to Moses. And he says, this is my covenant with you. This is what I will do for you. So when you look at those Ten Commandments, it helps us to see that motivation comes from the heart, not from someone telling us we have to do it. So make sense?
Yeah, it's sort of, for me, it's more like a promise than a contract. You know,
exactly.
God's covenant is a promise to us, and out of that promise, we respond. And we should respond in kind.
That's it. That's it. And like we started with it today, for me, it tells me human motivation for obedience to God isn't fear, it's love, because perfect love drives out all fear. So I want to challenge our listeners today. Remember what Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's a statement rather than a command. Get connected with Jesus today. Stay connected with Jesus every day, and it will be inevitable that you will become obedient to all he wants us to do.
Absolutely.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
We've got our book offer today. It's called Creation and Evolution. So do remember this code if you haven't claimed the book already, TEM for Tassie Encounters Moments, TEM05. We're in our fifth episode today. So text in 0488 880891. That's the number. And the code is TEM05 for the book Creation and Evolution. It's a thoughtful look at the evidence for a master designer. And did a loving God create the earth, or are we a random product of millions of years of natural selection? I'm sure you'll enjoy this book, so do text us in for that. Join us with our next episode, where we will finally get on to the 144,000 that this series is titled, looking at that in Revelation 7 and also Revelation 14. So thank you, David. We'll talk to you again next
soon.
Time. And as we go out with Melissa Otto, this is a song called Citizen. Great words if you listen to them carefully. So join us next time. May you encounter Jesus more today.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.